Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Conversations with the Citizen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with the Citizen. I'm your host, Catherine, and I am here today with Justice Nathaniel House Jr. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Justice House is running for the Illinois Supreme Court, so we're very excited to have you here today to kick off our campaign coverage for the 2020 election, and really excited to hear from you just about why you're running and why this is an important position. So that's kind of where I want to start. If you could just tell me a little bit about yourself and why you believe that you are qualified to be an Illinois Supreme Court judge.
Thank you. I thank you for the invitation to be here. You know, we've always been supportive of the Black press. I believe that, I've been a judge now for 20 years. And prior to that, I was a lawyer for 22 years. And I think that one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that when you're considering more than one candidate for judge, which candidate should be the judge, I think the most important thing there is the perspective of the individual that you're considering. Now, the reason I say that is that in most cases, I would say over 90% of the cases, if you have good lawyers on both sides and a judge that knows the law, the outcome of the case is going to be the same, but there are those cases where the law and the facts don't mix, they don't exactly mesh, and the outcome of the case is going to depend on how the judge sees things. You know, we've all seen these cases where they say, how did they reach that decision, mm-hmm. the jury or judge, how did they do that? That's because their perspective may be different than yours or mine. And of course, a judge's perspective is dependent on the judge's life experience and the things they've gone through as they've grown up. And I think that my perspective is one that is needed on the Supreme Court. You know, I believe in justice. I believe in looking out for the underdog. I believe that everyone should have justice in our courts regardless of race, nationality, ethnicity, religion, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Everyone deserves justice in our courts. Now, you may ask, well, he's on the Illinois Appellate Court now. That's where I sit now. And how could he be for an underdog? Well, I tell people I was born an underdog. I was not born in Chicago, but I was born in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a small town about 30 miles from Nashville. And at the time I lived there, although Brown versus Board of Education, the famous case, had been ruled upon, which declared segregation in schools unconstitutional, that case had not been put into effect there. So I essentially started school in segregated schools in Tennessee. Both my parents went to the graduates of Tennessee State University. My mom had a teacher's degree, and she taught school there in Murfreesboro. My dad had a master's degree, but the best job that he could get in Murfreesboro was night shift in a bomb factory. So, I can remember times going to the movie theater and asking my parents, why can't we sit on the first floor where there are seats? Why do we have to sit up in the balcony? And that's because we were subject to Jim Crow laws, which required us to sit there. So I well understood what it means to be an underdog. But my parents, they wanted a better life for us, for themselves and for us. And we became part of the Great Migration and came to Chicago. And after we got to Chicago, my mom became a teacher at the Chicago Public Schools, where she taught for 35 years. And my dad decided he wanted to be a lawyer. So while working full time, he went to school at night at John Marshall Law School. And we were able to observe how hard he worked to support the family, leaving sometimes 7, 8 in the morning and getting home late at night and studying his law books. On many weekends, my brother and I would be sitting across the table from each other, just like you and I, and we could look at the dining room. We could see my dad at the dining room table with his law books. Mm-hmm. So we were able to learn firsthand what it meant to be an underdog, to try to fight your way up in life. And he was an inspiration and a role model for me. And I learned firsthand what it meant to be, how underdogs have to fight, and what it means to work hard and accomplish things. And that was my inspiration.
And so I want to go a little bit deeper there, because you talked about, kind of just a little bit of what it means to be a sitting judge and interpret the law and apply the law. And so I'm curious to hear from you just a little bit more, if you're elected, I guess what kind of a reputation you would aim for? What's going to be really kind of your guiding light or the legacy that you would like to leave, you know, as a person that practices and applies law?
Well, as you can tell from my background, the one I just described to you, that I'm very sensitive to hearing the arguments of the underdog. I believe that when I hear the cases, I believe in listening to both sides carefully, making sure that before a decision is made, both sides are heard, and interpreting the law in a way that makes sense. You know, try to understand what the legislature intended to do when they passed a certain law, and put that intent into effect, and that's what I intend to do.
Perfect. And so, aside from you, from Justice House, and who you are, I'm excited to have you here specifically, but I'm even more excited to hear your perspective of just why this is important. I think a lot of times voting for judges, thinking about the law, kind of is in the back of our minds if it's not something that directly affects us. Which for most people tends to not be. So I just wanted to hear your opinion of why we should care about who is sitting on the Illinois Supreme Court.
Well, you're exactly correct. I know many people, they go vote and they vote for president, a governor, a senator, and they skip going down all the way down to the ballot to the judges. But the reality is that people who go vote are much more likely to encounter a judge than they are any other person they're voting for. And that's because, you know, disputes are resolved in our courts. So it's very important that they go and all the way down the ballot and vote and select the judges, because those are the people that are going to be making very important decisions about their lives. It could go from range from anything from a traffic ticket or to where you have a niece and nephew in some trouble. Those are the people that are going to be making those decisions, the people that you elect as judges in the state court system. Now, the most important job of the Supreme Court is to protect the civil rights of every individual. And that's why it's so important, the Supreme Court race is so important, because the important cases where rights are being impinged upon, and generally those are the people who are in the least advantageous position of all of us, their rights are being impinged upon by laws, have to be listened to. And the Supreme Court protects the rights of all individuals, the constitutional rights of all individuals, hear cases and make those decisions. Another important duty of the Supreme Court is that they appoint lawyers to vacancies on the court system. When a judge leaves due to retirement or death or whatever reason, the Supreme Court, under the Constitution, has the authority to appoint a temporary replacement to that position until the next election. And that, in that way, they shape the judiciary, who becomes judges, because in many cases, the person appointed has a leg up on the opposition when it comes to the election. So it's a very important position, looking out for the civil rights of individuals and shaping the courts for the rest of us.
And so, through my research, something that I didn't know before, which maybe other people might not know either, is that Illinois has a unique system for their Supreme Court in the way that it's divided up in the districts. So I just kind of wanted you to explain that briefly if you could. I was surprised to hear that Cook County itself gets 3 judges. So yeah, if you could just kind of explain to us how the Supreme Court in Illinois works and what seat you are actually running for.
Okay. Well, there are 7 justices on the Illinois Supreme Court, and they're elected from separate districts. And the state is divided up into 5 districts. They're with Cook County being one district,
one in itself, yeah.
And the rest of the state has 4. Therefore, the justices are elected from each of the other 4 districts. The reason that Cook County has 3 is because Cook County is the most populous district in the state, and therefore 3 are elected from Cook County. And I'm running for this seat caused by the retirement of Justice Charles E. Freeman. He retired last year, and I'm running for that seat, and that election will be March 17th, 2020.
And March 17th is the full election, or is that just the primary?
Well, that's the primary election, and actually the full regular election, the general election, will be held in November.
In November.
But in Cook County, for all practical purposes, the person who wins the primary in March will be elected in November. So the real election here is in March. And throughout my career, in my former career as a election lawyer, I used to try to spread the word. You got to vote for the primary
because that's the
election in Cook County.
You really wean it down.
Yes, that's the election for all practical purposes.
So, and really the reason that I wanted you to kind of explain that before we went any further was because there also is, the highly anticipated election of the Cook County State's Attorney. There's been a little back and forth going on there. I don't want to get into it. I'm just curious to ask you, how that affects your potential position in the Supreme Court. Like, what does that working relationship look like with District 1 judges and the Cook County State's Attorney? Does that affect you? Is that something you're thinking about?
I think that we don't have a direct contact with the state's attorney, but we can send recommendations to the legislature and make recommendations to officials about what laws are important to be changed. There's a lot of things, for example, that Kim Fox is doing, which are innovative, but we have a hands-off situation there. Yeah.
So whoever stays or comes into that office won't really affect what you have going on in your seat?
Well, the state's attorney is going to decide which cases get prosecuted.
Yeah.
And we basically hear appeals when there are convictions, for example, and we hear those cases at that point.
Okay.
After there's been a conviction.
Perfect. So the last thing that I wanted to ask you about was just, why it's also not only important for us to be aware of who's sitting on the court, but also for us to be aware of, the diversity that exists there. Right now, there's only one black man out of all seven of the judges. And to me, that is not quite representative of the diversity that we see in our day-to-day lives. So I'm just curious how, maintaining that diversity or improving that diversity can affect our Supreme Court in Illinois.
Well, one of the reasons that people obey the decisions of our courts is because they think it's fair, and they think the decisions are made fair. And I think one of the things that can influence that is when you walk into a courtroom, and if you see someone who is your race or a gender in a position of authority, then it makes things seem like fair. But if you walk into a courtroom and everyone is not your race, is white, it may look like things are not stacked right. And when you have a state as diverse as Illinois and you don't have a minority on the highest court in the state, it can give the impression that things are not exactly fair. I think diversity is important, when it comes to selecting the replacement judges. You're going to have to know the lawyers that you select. And I think that African Americans or minority lawyers are in a better position to determine which lawyers are up to the job of being a judge, to be appointed. I think that's important. They're in a position to be in the community to be able to observe the lawyers who are candidates. And I think integrity is important. You have to have integrity. You have to have a viewpoint, a perspective that respectful of other people, which I think I have. My ratings by the Bar Association have said I have an outstanding demeanor, which is also important. And I think all those qualities are important. Integrity, because you're going to be deciding some cases that are very important to a lot of people. You're going to be appointing individuals who may sit on the court for a whole career of 20 years or more. So you're going to have a person of integrity, a person who has perspective, making those important decisions. And I think I'm the person to do that.
Perfect. So that is really the extent of the questions that I wanted to ask you today. But I do want to open it up. If there's anything I didn't ask you about that you'd like to share with me, you're welcome to. If you have anything coming up that you'd like to share, you're welcome to. Or just, where we can send people to find more information about you.
Yes, well, people can contact me in my email at house2020 howsewose@gmail.com.
And that's H-O-W-S-E.
That's right? H-O-W-S-E. That's, it sounds just like you live in a house, H-O-W-S-E. And I know that March 17th is a long way away, but I try to tell people how to remember my name. Just remember five little words, house is in the house, and that, and that will work. And I'm looking for your support.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Justice House. It's been really nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
And as always, with every election we do, we like to remind everyone that, of course, it's important who you vote for, but even more important than that is that we are voting. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure everybody votes for the primary, March 2020, and then we will do the full election in November. And so thank you again. I'm your host, Catherine. This is Conversations with the Citizen, and we are done for today, but I will be back next week.
Remember to make plans to join us again next week for Conversations with the Citizen, the place where real news can be heard.